But yeah, it was just funny because I wonder if I was a white guy on the elevator, would she have said anything? You know what I mean? Like, would she have got on the elevator and been like, man, that final scene? But I'll never know. And it's funny to me. I don't get offended by that at all. But I just thought, I'm like, wow, you know, that's rather fascinating. I wish I could play this over as a white guy just to see if she was still coming the same way.
Cool. Black dude.
Hello, hello, hello. Darren Lake here, and this is the first episode of CBD Radio, the Cool Black Dudes podcast. I'm joined by co-founder Carrie Heumann, and we talk about a lot of different topics that all revolve around what a cool black dude is. We'll be zooming out around the topic, then zooming in, and then zooming back out again. We cover such things as defining a cool black dude, our history and how we met, Childish Gambino / Donald Glover, the Get Out movie, warning, spoiler alert, how to 80-20 your life, routines and discipline, staying motivated, future of CBDs, and more. Have fun with this as much as we did creating it. This is the first of hopefully many, many more. So please enjoy.
Cool.
Black dude!
This is something that was actually birthed or born from a lot of conversations I've been having with Carrie, who is down there. What's up, Carrie?
You say it's not that crazy, man. It's hella crazy, baby. We're coming in strong.
Coming in strong, man. We've been long distance for about 10 years now. 10, 11 years. We haven't been living in the same city. And we talk on the regular, like, at least once a month, if not once every 2 weeks, if not sometimes once every week, depending on what's happening.
And but if you factor in social media, it's probably more frequent. You're just talking like phone conversations.
Yeah. We have like phone conversations that are like really intense. And we get really deep on a lot of topics. And, you know, a few years ago, I said, man, we need to record this, man. And then kind of the cool black dudes idea came from Mark Mellinger, props, my boy from San Diego, originally Baltimore area. He came up with this idea.
The Phantom.
Magic Mark. That's what he calls himself. And yeah, he came up with this idea, you know, that we all a bunch of cool black dudes, which we will define in a second. And I said, man, the conversations that we have is what cool black dudes do. So this has actually been, this has been in the works for, I'd say, 11 years. Possibly longer. And this is really cool that we're doing this. So yeah, man, I think that's about it. I'll flick an introduction. So Carrie Heumann, KY, I don't know if he goes with that anymore, the humanizer. He is my best friend of 23 years now. We met
23 years, man?
23 years.
Really?
94, man.
We
met in middle school. This dude was brand new. I was about 2 months in this middle school in outside of D.C. area, Northern Virginia. And this dude goes, want to see a magic trick? And I'll never get he was doing magic tricks, man. That was his icebreaker. Pretty good tricks. And then found out we both like basketball. We both like the same type of music. I mean, when you're 12 years old, it's pretty much the same. But yeah, man, we stayed thick and thin. I think it was mostly thin, man. I don't think we really had any bad ups. Maybe when we lived together, we didn't like some of the.
Nah, man. And was it ninth grade when you stole my date?
You would talk about that.
Stole my date. I ain't gonna steal my date.
No, it was
that eighth grade or ninth grade?
It was my ninth grade. It was your tenth grade. It was homecoming. I remember it, man. I felt so bad. I remember you were like, what comes around goes around.
What goes around comes around. I don't think we talked for like a week, man.
You were so mad. I had to stay in the house that night. You were so mad. Your mom was like, you boys need to make up. You boys need.
Oh my god, man.
All right, my bad. Yeah, we just went off track. We actually had like a plan. We were gonna make this a random conversation.
We come a long way, man.
So yeah, 23 years best friend. We've been through a lot together. We both been to the entertainment game in multiple ways. Carrie was a model turned finance guy. Now is business development in the cannabis industry, which is a very new legalized industry in Portland. He does business development sales. I might have said your title wrong. I apologize, Carrie. But he's killing it right now.
It sounds better than drug dealer, man. I thought that was good. I appreciate that.
Legal drug dealer. And yeah, he's really, really dope dude. Without ranting on him, he's quite possibly one of the most positive dudes I've literally ever met, positive people I've ever met. You know, as life does to everyone, it does not hand him the best cards, but this dude, you know, he makes lemonade. He makes a lemon alcoholic drink, even though he doesn't drink alcohol, out of lemons. He makes a full on lemon party out of it. And, yeah, man, I have
a lemon spritz.
Lemon spritz, yeah, man. And he's also alcohol smoking free as of, is it 6-7 years?
Well, if you include cannabis, you know, it depends on who you're talking about.
No, man,
but, as far as
that works, that's all.
As far as alcohol, yeah, man, it's been since 2012, December 26th. So it's been a while. So that's, 5 years.
That's
5 years.
That's serious discipline, man, and I got a lot of respect for that, man. All right, so
appreciate that.
What?
Man.
Anytime, man, anytime. So, what to you is a cool black dude?
Yeah, man. You know, I just want to say real quick, I do appreciate you just making this happen today, man. In the midst of it all, like, you're in the process of moving right now. And the fact that you're willing to take, you know, 30, 35 minutes just to make this happen goes to show that, like, you know, a cool black dude is a lot of different things. But, you know, at the end of the day, and it's something I feel we all strive for, something I strive for every day. It's not a goal. It's sort of a work in progress, I think, a cool black dude. And I think it's essentially, I'm going to kind of preface it, but it's like, you know, it's a black dude or human being or whatever you want to call it, who, you know, what they think, what they say, and what they do are in alignment. Essentially, it's becoming that person you say you are to other people and to yourself, and just honoring that, man. And you know, like I said, you're moving today. I know you got a lot going on, and I know we've been moving back and forth with this, but you know, cool black dude is just, you know, someone who is just in alignment, man. You know, they want the righteous path, and they want the greatest and highest good for everyone involved. And you and I both know that this whole, you know, CBD movement, cool black dude thing is much bigger than you and I. You know, we've been talking about this for so long, and you know, we have no idea what kind of shape this thing will take. But I mean, even just looking at the forum on Facebook and how that's growing, I think a cool black dude, you know, again, it's a work in progress, but ultimately it's just someone who's, you know, centered, man, and just wants the best for people around them. You know, there's no need to compete when we can collaborate, you know, and that's what I dig most about, you know, the CBD community. And I guess just being a cool black dude, man, working together, moving forward. There's no need to hate, man. There's so much to go around. There's never going to be another you or me or whoever else is listening to or watching this. Like, no one can duplicate you. You are the blueprint of yourself. You know, there's no need to try to, you know what I mean? There's just so much to go around.
Nah, man, I feel you, man. I feel you. It's like, it's really easy to compare. Like you said, don't need to compete. Collaborate. It's really easy to compare. Like, you know, I was looking at I won't name the producer, but he's extremely successful. And he's actually, you know, he's an all right friend of mine. You know, it's one of those industry people, music industry people that you know. I kind of looked at discography on Wikipedia because I haven't really been talking to him for the past few weeks, a few years, sorry. And this dude has been on a lot of hot shit that, like, actually has come out. And I was like, damn. And I actually was like, man, I'm a failure. You know, like, I didn't make it really big in the music industry. But, you know, I have to zoom out and go, wait. So most people that have attempted to, most people that do music, I actually am a success. So it's kind of like, you know, that was just an analogy that I do to kind of make things make sense, to make them, you know, a bit more relatable. But it's real easy for me to sit here and compare and compete against this dude, and I'm always going to lose, you know. There's always going to be someone doing something, quote unquote, better than you. Like, I'm doing my own shit. Like, there's probably, he probably might look at me and be like, man, you know, Darren's skinny, like, whatever, you know, Darren's a decent looking dude, you know, like, he might.
Yeah, the guy lives in Australia, you know.
Exactly, man. I mean, he does have a lot of money, but but
yeah, have a place in Australia. But I hear you, man.
Yeah, man. So that's very true on that. Looking down at my phone to take notes on what you say, because I'm trying to be a little mini Tim Ferriss here. Props to a Tim Ferriss podcast for kind of this idea. Just podcasts in general have blown up. But yeah, man, sorry. So yeah, man, yo, I love your definition, dude. I really appreciate that.
All right. So, you know, like I said, D, man, just to return the favor, man, like I said, super grateful for you just taking the time to, like, you know, pin us both down to do this. I know you're moving today. But, you know, before I sort of reciprocate and ask the same question of, you know, what is a cool black dude? You know, I just want to, you know, take a couple seconds here just to introduce you. And, you know, like you said, you know, we met, what, 23 years ago in VA. You know, both of us were, you know, transplants to this area. And it's funny, you know, that your first memory of us meeting was the card trick, because I don't actually, like, remember that. I don't remember, like, that being our starting point. Like, I remember our starting point being at the basketball court, and then afterwards, you and I just kind of sticking around, and, like, you were just showing me all these cool dribble moves, and you had a good jump shot. And I'm like, man, this guy is cool. And then we just kind of, you know, went along the way. But, you know, as far as just, like, this journey, man, like, I there aren't too many people that I can say I've known for 23 years, and, like, after that entire time, it's just been, like you said, man, it's been mostly ups. It's been all ups, man. It's like I almost feel like we're living in a parallel universe. And I just feel like, just with your, like I said, man, I don't know where the whole sort of triathlon thing came from, and just kind of getting out there and doing the Ironman thing. But just as far as discipline and just, you know, just that commitment to just starting something and seeing it through, that's something that I've just always admired, you know, just about you and our friendship. You've visited me here in Portland many more times than I've visited you in Australia, and six times. Okay, yeah. Six times to be exact, you visited me to my zero. And, you know, this year will be my first year. But, you know, just as far as, you know, our connection, man, I just really appreciate you holding down and, you know, creating the space to continue to let our friendship grow in spite of, you know, maybe some of the distance and, you know, setbacks that might have, you know, made it a little more challenging. But like I said, just as far as just discipline, man, and just commitment and just creativity, just with your music and, like I said, athletics and just your overall style, man, and perspective. Super cool, man, just to be able to, you know, work this out with you. I could have took a little more time to define, you know, this, but we're going to go ahead and keep it moving. How would you define a cool black dude?
So again, thank you, man, for the introduction. Much appreciated. It's just, thanks, man. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that I do sometimes a bit too much. Like what I was saying that I actually I'm running with now is, you can have all of the things, but not all of the time. And that's kind of where the 80-20 experience is coming from. That's kind of like my whole umbrella of my life right now. So that's where I try to combine, you know, art/music/audio with my fitness, sports, and technology, and social, and just kind of wrap it all in. So yeah, man, you know, much appreciated, man. CBDs is a part of that. That's my social tech, I guess, as I like to call it. So this is all part of it. This is my business, you know. This is who I am. I've finally redefined it over the past year, and I'm trying to move forward with that. But what is a cool black dude? This is a great question that I get from people. We didn't really come up with the name. Again, props to Mark Mellinger for
Magic Mark
for coming up with the name. And a cool black dude, you know, the definition is, I should actually read my own definition. It's cool black dudes is just like a community that's highlighting positive and productive people in productive black people in society. And that obviously, again, if we zoom out, that's going to be the buzzword of the day. If we zoom out, it could kind of be anyone, you know. Black people are just like white people, and Asians and Hispanics and whatever. So I'm not really stressing the black thing, but I just feel like right now, black people, obviously I'm black. So I am Darren first, but then I'm, you know, I'm black third. I'm Darren. I'm a man. I'm a nice guy. And then I say I'm black fourth. But, I think black people right now kind of are in a bad light. I think they've always kind of been. Slavery didn't help. The brown man in the world, you know, is always feared. You know, like, I walk down the street with a three-piece suit on, even though I don't wear suits too much. But let's say I had a bow tie on and a top hat and some shoes and a suitcase. There's probably a higher chance of an old white woman being more afraid of me than if some, you know, white dude, even though I've seen some like ghetto looking white dudes, like just some like junky white dudes, like homeless dudes. And I think they were about to stab me with like a needle. So I will walk across the street. So it is kind of who you are and what you present. So it doesn't matter what color you are. You do look a bit scary, depending on how you present yourself. But I definitely feel that tension, and I've seen it, and I know they're thinking it, and you know, people talk about it. So I think highlighting Black people doing normal Black things, which again, you know, some people might disagree with as like, what's normal? But no, the normal, actually, it's funny because people look at me and you, they listen to how we sound, they see what we're into, and they go, you know, they see what we watch and what we listen to, and they're like, you're different, you know, like, and I think it's crazy in 2017 they say that, because I remember we were jamming out to Jimi Hendrix and Korn in 1994, and I remember people being like, you guys are weird, you guys are different, and like, people still say that now, you know, they just expect you, especially when you get into like kind of a white area, mostly white area, they expect you to be, you know, quote unquote Black, stereotypical Black, but actually stereotypical Black is who we are. We are actually the norm. I keep meeting more and more cool Black and brown dudes and women, and they, you know, have very good jobs. They have very big ideas. They're, you know, well-educated. I hate fucking even saying that. And there's so many things that they're doing. I could go on a rant about what defining what a cool Black dude is, but I think rather than, this is going to be super literal. I'm a very literal person. As Symbol said, shout out Symbol. You will get interviewed soon, but as Symbol said, symbolic. He said that, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve, or whatever that saying is. Yeah, you know, I'm not very good at being layered in I'm good at being deep, but I'm good at being literal deep, not layered deep. So I would rather define, this is kind of me trying to walk that line. I'd rather define a cool Black person by what they do rather than saying they're cool and Black and racism and Black Lives Matter and all that crazy stuff that's happening. I kind of go, what music are you into? And that's the definition. So I just like skip around. Like I just go direct line into what you're doing. So that's like what we're trying. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what you're trying to do. That's what Chris Franklin, we got the Facebook group, the private group, which is going to hopefully become a bigger page and a bigger community presence online. So speaking of what a cool Black dude is and what we talk about, how do you feel about that? That new, I guess, 6 months old Childish Gambino. How do you just feel about Childish Gambino in general, man? Like,
DG, my man Donald Glover.
Yeah, man. My apologies, Donald Glover. Yes.
Yeah, no, Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, whatever you feel like calling him that day, I guess. Yeah, man, I got a lot of respect for him, man. You know, like you said earlier, man, it's like, you know, a CBD ultimately isn't defined by like a cool Black dude isn't necessarily defined by their color. It's more so their actions and just sort of what they stand for, and you know, just sort of the temperature of, I guess you would say, the Black community right now. I mean, I guess, you know, he does stand out, but I think ultimately, man, it's like you got a guy who, you know, is coming in with no shape up, no socks on, you know, with a, you know, V-neck and like really short shorts, sitting cross-legged in an interview, you know, and like I think in the Black community, like that's like, you're like breaking so many cardinal stereotypical rules that I don't think it computes for a lot of people, you know? And then he starts talking and, you know, really starting to, you know, kind of not really show his abilities, but it's like, you start to recognize that, like, you know, this dude is super sharp, and, you know, to spend your time getting caught up on, he's not wearing the new Jordans, or he's got a, you know, nappy head or peasy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so beyond that. And like, I just really dig that, like, he's just bringing his natural self to, you know, a platform that for the most part is so, you know, fabricated. I mean, even Kendrick is doing that now with, you know, his latest album. But it's just really refreshing and cool to like have these guys who are, I think, at the core, like nice guys. Like, they care about people, like they want to move things forward. But on the same note, they're not afraid to express, like, you know, all of that. You know, it's almost kind of like looking at like a Jimi Hendrix back in the day. Like when Jimmy came out, like he kind of had that effect. Like it shocked people, you know, but it didn't necessarily have to shock people because he was just being himself. Like he wasn't trying to shock people, you know? So I think it's just amazing that Donald Glover is getting so much traction. Not only is he extremely talented, but he's addressing things in a way that I wouldn't say haven't been addressed this way before, but I think just with his platform, he's able to just touch a lot more people. And it's just really refreshing to just see young brothers, man, like just moving and shaking stuff and not doing it the way, you know, maybe their parents might have told them or how their teacher told them. Like, he's just doing it the way it feels right. And like, I just appreciate that, you know, and he's bringing people up as well, because that's opening up other doors. I mean, you look at Outkast, I think Outkast opened up some doors for the Childish Gambinos and things like that. But it's just cool to see this unraveling in our lifetime. Yeah, how about you, man? I mean, just to jump on that, I mean, as far as, you know, Donald Glover or Kendrick, you know, any thoughts on just kind of their presence in mainstream society right now?
I'd say, yo, man, I agree with you, first and foremost, about Childish Gambino. With all that, man, I thought, you know, just to kind of piggyback there, I kind of did, as I like to do, some research on people's albums and their background, and I find it real interesting that he had a baby. I think you sent that to me, and he kept it under wraps. And from the album, if you listen to the lyrics, it actually is him losing the girl and "don't take my baby," like baby boy. It's like, "don't take my baby, don't take my baby." So he actually talked about, he said that was actually a really hard album, but it sounds like it was really fun and cool to write. He said lyrically it was really hard because he was like conjuring up the emotions from a lot of personal shit. And if he's saying that, then most likely, you know, I could be speculating, but he might have, you know, broke up with his girl and they're fighting over the baby. Like, and it seems like a newborn, like, you know, less than a year. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, this dude's having quite possibly the most success he's ever had. He's probably got the most money he's ever had. You know, Atlanta show killed it. What else killed it? He's now, he's going to voice Simba in the live action Lion King. He's going to be the new Billy Dee Williams in a Han Solo movie.
He might even be Spider-Man eventually, man. Who knows?
Oh, well, he's going to be in the new Spider-Man. He's actually going to be in it, but he's going to be like another character. So they didn't cast him for Spider-Man. But yeah, man, like this dude's killing on so many areas. And it's really easy to look at this dude and go like, man, his life is perfect. He must sit back every day and go, I made it. I'm the best person in the world. Drinking umbrella drink on the beach, you know, while I drive my Tesla. He does have a Tesla Type S. This dude is struggling, man. Like, he's an artist, and as you know, man, being an artist, it's always a struggle, internal battle. Like, you always pull from your like really awkward, uncomfortable, painful moments to like produce. So he's struggling. It's not like, I don't think he's any happier than anyone else, and this is like some other stuff that I'm gonna, you know, talk about later, but what is happiness? I'll talk about it, not in this podcast, but in something for the future. But yeah, man, like I think what's really interesting is that he's struggling inside, and everyone's struggling inside, and he's no better than really anyone else. So it's really easy to be like, this dude made it. This cool black dude made it, whatever he is, this man made it. But I think there's this hidden agenda, or not agenda, there's this hidden thing going on that we don't know about, that everyone's going on about. So it's like, you need to focus on yourself and what you're doing. But yeah, anyway, speaking of Childish Gambino, we're going to circle it around. Speaking of Redbone was the opening song for the movie Get Out, which, yes, I finally saw.
did you finally see it because it just came out there, or yeah, you just yeah, waiting, man, for the perfect opportunity?
Nah, it just came out here.
Why? How come he hasn't seen it yet?
Yeah, man. Oh, if you guys don't know, sorry, I live in Australia, Sydney, Australia. We should have maybe said that. I live in Sydney, Australia. Yeah. Carrie's in Portland, Oregon. So this is why we're doing a podcast and we're not face to face. I've been down here about 5.5 years, and Australia has a lot of white people. There's a lot of Asians and a lot of brown people, but there's a whole lot of white people. So a movie like Get Out that talks about black and white relations isn't going to be the fastest to be released here. Or maybe they had an international slow release. So did it in the United States a month later, did it in Europe a month later, did it in Africa a month later, did it down here. I don't know how their international releases go. Beauty and the Beast was released in the States and here at the same time. So I don't know. I mean, you know, one movie is a bit more harsher than the other. But yeah, man, I got to see it. I actually saw it with a bunch of cool black dudes.
Looks like you went with a group of guys, man. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, man. I met up with one Australian black dude who will be on the show. Props Hilton, you will be on the show. I'm gonna interview your ass. I got my equipment. He is Australian, born here, has an Australian accent, and looks just like me. which is, it makes everyone's head like they can't handle it. I love it. Like Nadia was like, oh my God, I can't believe you had an Australian accent. And then all my Asian friends who are kind of part of this like minority coalition that we have here. And they were like, yo man, that is an Australian sounding, it's an Aussie sounding dude, man. And I was just like, yeah, it's pretty dope. So yeah, man, that movie was dope, not to kind of rant, but I wish I would have watched it in a ghetto ass theater in the States, like in like the Bronx or like, you know, like LA or something, like South Central LA. Like that would have been pretty dope. I heard that, I read some reviews and people were like, they were like, yeah, man, everyone was cheering when he was killing everyone at the end.
Like, yeah, dude.
Like people were cheering in the like black theaters, man. And that makes me actually like pretty excited because I don't know what it was. I'm not a fan of violence. And, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, I won't even say it, but it's not a violent movie. But it's, but the funny thing is that it's actually not that violent. It's actually a very suspenseful thriller, like psycho thriller. But there's like, you know, the part where it gets violent at the end, and when he like goes in, I've never felt so good. And I listened to an interview a week or two before with Jordan Peele, who wrote and directed it, from Key and Peele. And he said, I want you to be cheering for the black guy, the hero at the end. He's like, I know black people be cheering for him at the end. And I was like, yeah, kill them all. Like, I was just like, and I'm like, not like violent, you know, like, it's just like, so it was just like, yeah, man, it was real interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting though too, man. Cause you know, Portland's a pretty Caucasian saturated place as well. And, yeah, man, I went to the theater. I actually saw it twice, but each time I went, for the most part, I was the only black guy in there. There might have been a black woman in there or like a Mexican guy, but I was, for the most part, the only black guy. And it's so interesting when you watch a movie like that, when you're surrounded by, you know, by Caucasians, because after the movie, I'm walking out the theater. And it's kind of like a scene from the movie. You know, I don't want to spoil the movie, but there's a scene in the movie where the main character goes to a party, and essentially he's kind of like the topic of conversation. Like everyone just has a question for him, and they're asking him very race-specific questions as if he's the expert because he has a similar color skin. But yeah, I remember I left the theater, and me and my friend go into the elevator. And this older white lady and white guy get in the elevator. And as soon as they step in the elevator, they start talking about the last scene. They're like, oh my God, did you see that last scene? Oh, I was just rooting for that guy. And I was like, yeah. And then I got off the elevator and I looked at my friend and I'm like, wow, I didn't even know how to respond to that. But that was, I mean, that's awesome. That's, but yeah, it was just funny because I wonder if I was a white guy on the elevator, would she have said anything? You know what I mean? Like, would she have got on the elevator and been like, man, that final scene? But I'll never know. And it's funny to me. I don't get offended by that at all. But I just thought, I'm like, wow, you know, that's rather fascinating. I wish I could play this over as a white guy just to see if she was still coming the same way.
Cool.
Black dude.
This is the end of part one. To continue your experience, please listen to part 2.